Hi, and welcome to Being Lutheran, a podcast dedicated to proclaiming the excellencies of Jesus Christ and the biblical theology expressed in the Lutheran Confessions. Today, Pastor Jason Goodham, Pastor Brett Bowe, and Pastor Adam Osher continue their discussion on the formula of Concord, looking at Article 8 on the person of Jesus Christ. Being Lutheran is sponsored by the Free Lutheran Bible College and Seminary in Plymouth, Minnesota. Whatever your vocation, start here, go anywhere, grounded in God's Word.
Welcome to the Being Lutheran podcast. I am Pastor Brett Bowe, and I'm joined by
Pastor Jason Goodham
and Pastor Adam Osher.
All right, welcome back, guys. We're here for a new batch of episodes as we continue walking through the formula of Concord. We're in Article 8, the person of Christ today.
A new batch of episodes entirely related to the previous batch of episodes. I don't know.
Isn't that true of every single one of these articles?
There is, but I don't know that there's two articles, at least in the formula, but maybe in the entire Book of Concord, that are so closely related that you really need to do these two articles together.
Which two articles?
Last time we were in the studio, the Holy Communion.
I thought you were looking at the next one. I was like, I didn't know we're jumping ahead. Nope. I started to panic because I'm like, I'm barely ready to talk about this one.
Yeah, right. What we really want to talk about is the connection between the two natures of Christ and Christ's descent into hell.
That's one I want to read up on before. Yeah.
No, Holy Communion is entire. The Lutheran Confession of the Doctrine of Holy Communion is entirely dependent on our understanding of the two natures in Christ. Probably the best news in this episode, though, for one Brett Bowe,
will have to say the word.
Yeah, there is
apotelismaticum.
There's no mention of the three genera. So you're free, Brett. You don't have to know myostaticum apotelismaticum.
Thank you. Yeah, some of that is
almost like a rap song there, Jason.
Some of that is spilled into my pastoral ministry where I'll be nervous to say certain words. I'll be like, I don't know if I'm saying this right, but I'll just throw it
out
there.
Just own it.
Yeah.
You got to say it like a Patamox instead of Appomattox or something.
Yeah. Well,
Jason,
North Dakota's secondary education system at work.
Like, is it Gaudete or Gaudete?
Yeah, Gaudete?
Yeah. Gaudete.
the Sunday.
The Sunday immediately previous
to this recording.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
Latin. It's a fun language.
Yeah, it really is. Yep. Yeah.
So, the two natures in Christ.
We should bring it back.
Yeah, bring back Latin.
Bring it back, y'all. Bring it back, y'all, tonight. Yeah.
My kids are learning Latin in classical conversations, but I'm not sure they would be so excited about
Where I would go to teach them Latin would be the casino scene between Doc Holliday and Johnny Ringo in Tombstone.
Wow.
Entirely Latin.
Wow.
Entirely Latin dialogue. Dialogue, and I think they improvised some of it even.
Nice.
I would go to the announcement of the Pope. Whenever the new pope is announced. Habemus Papam. Yeah.
We have a pope.
Yep.
Right? Is that what that
means? I think so. I mean, as far as I know, we did have a pope after that, so it's a reasonable guess.
Right.
For me, 85% of my life is connected to the movie Tombstone. Some way, some shape, some form.
All right. Well, let's get into this article. I'm going to read the first paragraph in the formula on where it says the chief question at issue in this controversy, and we'll go from there. And so there's a number of affirmative theses that will come after this. And so here's the chief question. It says, the chief question has been, because of personal union in the person of Christ, do the divine and human natures, together with their properties, really, that is, indeed and truth, share with each other, and how far does this sharing extend? All right, that's
how are we not talking about the three genera?
Because it's not in the, they did it in the formula without bringing it up at all.
Interesting. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, because that definitely applies here, but
sure does.
You lucked out, Brett.
That's right. That was small call that, no, yeah. Mm-hmm. My memory is fuzzy here.
Yeah, we did small call, and we did a little bit of it in the Augsburg Confession and Apology, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All right. Well, so, yeah, this is the chief question. What are your initial thoughts, you guys, as we jump into this?
Well, this is really the difference, again, between where Lutherans and Calvinists are on not only the person of Christ, but the function of the sacrament and everything. These are the things that, if done wrong, you can see why people don't like academic theology. Mm-hmm. But it has to be communicated that this sort of thing is really important. You can't screw this up.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, looking at just the chief question of those two, they have to be connected. and there's a lot of and have communion with one another, all these things. How does that work? If it doesn't, salvation doesn't work.
Correct.
And so if salvation doesn't work, we are wasting air on this podcast.
Mm-hmm. And
that's good for you. I mean, a lot of times when people will talk about or bring up this idea, they might look at you with kind of bleary eyes, like,
yeah,
what are you talking about? But to realize how important it is in connection to salvation, it's good to know.
And if you explain the implications, then you almost have to reverse engineer
right.
from the destination so that you so the two ditches on either side of that with the question of mind end up being, on the one hand, we end up with two separate Christs.
Mm-hmm.
We have two redeemers, which our salvation goes out the window then because you need one Christ to be the redeemer. The other side of the dish is you mash up the divine and human natures of Christ into one substance, and you end up with a not quite God, more than human kind of Hercules figure, which probably... on kind of a theological development issue, probably best explains where the Mormons are at.
Hmm.
Because they have a superhuman subdivine Christ where they take all of the Christian terminology, try to apply it to him, but he's just entirely different than what Scripture says.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so we're trying to avoid both of those extremes, and Adam got us there right away, that the end result is if we hit the ditch,
yep,
we don't get to salvation
on either right. side. Yep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So this is where, you know, theological tensions are so important in this. Well, yeah, let's get into the affirmative statements here. There are 12 listed in this article. The first one is this: the divine and human natures in Christ are personally united.
So this
yeah.
is
mm-hmm. yeah.
The starting point is Christ has two natures, but is one person.
Mm-hmm.
And so the two natures of Christ is he's fully human, fully God, but there is one Christ. And this is the same sort of language we use to describe the Trinity, which mm-hmm. should help us, actually, because there are three persons, mm-hmm. but one God. Now there is one person of Christ, and so this is the second person of the Trinity, but one Christ.
And two natures.
Yeah, one person, two natures.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the way I describe it to the students that I've taught when I've taught the nature of the Trinity, and then we've talked about some of the challenges to Christianity. One of the challenges is the Trinity, right? How does one God exist in three persons? And then the other one, the big one, is the incarnation. Yep. How can one, you know, how can this one person be two natures? And part of it is, and this is how I try and explain it to them, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, Jason, because I think you've thought about this too. The big question there is, are they mutually exclusive? You know, are they? It would be one thing if I had an all red coat and an all blue coat, and they were one coat. Well, that's a purple coat, right?
The dress is black and gold.
Because when I talk about, you had to bring that one in. It is. I saw white, yeah, and gold.
Coffee.
But what we're talking about there is we're talking about a red color and a blue color, and they fall into the same category of color, and they are different colors. So God and man are two different natures, and they're mutually exclusive because they fall. That's to make men God. And that's a problem, or to make God simply human. And we're talking about two different categories, so it's really not a logical issue at this point, because we're talking about two different characters. It's okay to have two natures. And I use the illustration of, and this breaks down, every illustration does, but I'm a dad, and I'm a brother, and I'm a husband. All of those are different things, and I hold these different offices. Now we're getting into modalism.
That's modalism. Partialism.
But when it comes to
yeah.
the nature of Christ, I think that illustration holds up a little bit better. It breaks down in a lot of ways, but it's just this whole idea of like, yeah, you can be, because God willed it, mm-hmm. It can be both God and man in one person.
Yeah, you run into a lot of conflict because to say that they can't is to put God and humanity on the same spectrum.
Yeah.
And that's the problem from an Aristotelian perspective, or actually probably be Platonic with the forms, but that's not where we go with that. The real problem, though, kind of the flip side of that coin, is the question isn't how.
Because
mm-hmm. it's a mystery.
Yeah.
We don't know how, we know is. What is revealed to us is Jesus God? Does he need to be God? Yes.
Yeah.
Is Jesus man? Does he need to be man? Yes. Is there one Jesus? Yes. Mm-hmm. And that's the way we need to reason through it, because that's the way Scripture presents it to it. But you're right, Adam. The spectrum is not there's God at one end and man at the other end, as if like
you're some version of a blend, like the Mormons, yeah. Like you mentioned,
or right? Like Hercules, or, yeah. Or like. But we are not the opposite of God. We are a created being. Mm-hmm. God is uncreated, and there's no middle ground on that spectrum. The spectrum doesn't exist.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, you know, and to go back, I wasn't trying to explain the how, because absolutely, I was going to come to that point too. Like, we have to just receive what's been revealed to us. And that is that this is very clear in Scripture. What is being described here is not, you know, ultra complicated when we're looking at the Word of God and we're taking it for what it is. If it is the Word of God, we have to trust that in His divine way He can do it. I was simply saying the connection is a possibility. I mean, it's not that logically challenging if you really think about it, unless godness and humanity are a spectrum.
Yep.
And that's exactly it. And it's not. And that's why the person of Jesus is the one person of Jesus, right?
Yep.
One of the things that helps me to understand this too, and when we talk about the divine nature and human nature are personally united, there is one person. So when Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," who is he referencing?
Himself.
He's not referencing the divine nature. He's not referencing the human nature. He's referencing his nature, or himself, which is, you know, both fully. And so it's interesting. So when Jesus says I, he's not, sometimes I hear this, and this is why I bring this up. I hear people bring this up and say, well, that's the I according to the divine nature.
Yep.
No. That's the I who is Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. who it is. That's as far as we go with that, only to understand that to divorce it is to break apart these two natures, which is heresy, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah. Yeah, should I read the next couple, maybe?
Read the next one, and then that will explain the next two after that. Yeah. So,
all right, so the second affirmative statement, the divine and human natures are not mingled into one substance, nor is one changed into the other.
This is probably even a bigger idea than the first one. The first one just explains mm-hmm. that you can't explain who Jesus is and end up with two Christs, mm-hmm. which is, it's a pretty straightforward statement, to be honest. This one is, it erases the option of having that third kind of substance by mixing the divinity and the humanity of Jesus. And so this has been explained by heretics poorly for 2,000 years. And so the two outcomes that you end up with is you either end up with a third Jesus substance by mixing mm-hmm. the two together, or
a perfect blend of the two, if you will.
Yeah. Or you end up with the
kind of like the paint jar at...
Well, so yeah, let's go this direction.
My coat.
Yeah.
Let's go this direction before you go the second direction.
Yeah.
And so kind of the way a lot of the heretics and people who misunderstand this is almost like you needed an emulsifier to make this work. And so cooking analogy here is oil and water don't mix. And if you put oil and water just like in a bowl or a container together and mix them up, it will always separate. Mm-hmm. There are certain substances that work as emulsifiers. So egg yolk is one. Mm-hmm. And if you mix egg yolk, oil, and water together, you get a different substance, which is, this is why cake and cookies work.
Yes, let's go.
Are you surprised I know that?
I knew we'd get there.
Everything somehow comes back to cake for me.
This is how we ended up with cake.
Yeah,
I love it. But people talk about Jesus' nature as if there was some emulsifier that made it work.
Okay.
Some sort, and they're not blended into a brand new third substance. That's not what we're talking about. And so the only other way to talk about the blending of the substances, which anytime you talk about the blending of the substances, excuse me, it's heresy. Mm-hmm. But the only other way is that the divinity, because we have a pretty vested, you know, need to glorify the divinity and not bring God down, is that the divinity will ultimately swallow and obliterate the humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't do that either.
But we have, that's a heresy that's prevalent.
It's prevalent.
We hear people talk about it all the time, and even Christians, right, talk about the fact that, well, like, and now Jesus is, you know, he's just God again, and he's not man. He retains that forever. They're distinct, but he retains it forever, the humanity that he,
So like the moments where he's sleeping in the boat, or,
And so if you go down that road, what actually does is it leaves the door open for anyone to become Christ. Mm-hmm. Is that we too can be swallowed up by the divinity by leading a pious life, by our obedience, by some sort of special anointing by God. And I mean, Oneness Pentecostals do something like this. The New Apostolic Reformation is just... this is everywhere. Mormons are adjacent to this sort of thing happening, although the divinity of Christ in Mormonism is a completely different category. It's a demigod status. And so it's really hard to relate all of that back. But the point is that the substances don't commingle into a third substance. It's that the natures of Christ are distinct. That there is a divine nature with its attributes, there is a human nature with its attributes, and those attributes, no matter what nature they belong to, properly belong to Christ. Mm-hmm. And so you can say of Jesus that he wept, that he grew tired, that he was cold, that he ate, that he occupied space, all of those. And you can say of Jesus... He walked on water, that Jesus is God. Mm-hmm. And both of those apply at the same time. There are properties that the whole person possesses that are brought to the person by the nature, mm-hmm. but we do not subdivide according to the nature, mm-hmm. lest we make two separate Christs. Mm-hmm.
Mm. That was very precise, Jason.
Yeah, that was.
Thank you.
That was good.
I was impressed with that explanation. I have nothing to add, Brett.
That's excellent. I was thinking of, you know, just we're in Advent and coming up to Christmas, and just heard some people talking the other day about, you know, the son, you know, no crying, he makes that line. Just kind of questioning, like, well, would Jesus, you know, do that?
Away in the manger?
Yeah, away in a manger, yeah. And, it's interesting to see people almost be offended by the humanity of Christ.
I know. Yeah. I was holding a friend's baby, 6 weeks old, something like that, recently. Sweetest little guy, you know, slept the whole time I was holding him, kind of, you know, until he woke up and he was hungry. And was he mad. He was hungry. He was ready for some food. He was calling for it. And at the end of the day, you know, get him a bottle now, because this kid's, there was nothing wrong with him doing that. Mm-hmm. You know, that wasn't sin. That was just him saying, hey, I'm hungry, guys. Yeah. I need something to eat. And that's I don't like when we make Jesus into something he isn't, because all of a sudden we turn him into this divine little being that only does, you know, that isn't human, really, is what we do.
Well, and by doing that, what we're really saying is that we are defining divinity based on piety and works righteousness.
Say that again.
That's so, like, to say that little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes, it's that you're redefining the divinity based on a perfected notion of the humanity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And we can't do that. They're, again, not on a spectrum. It can't, you know, we don't do that. But it is human nature, because of original sin, to conceive of deity as a perfected version of humanity. Mm-hmm. That's where all the Greek and the Roman and the Norse gods come from, is they are idealized humanity.
Kind of like me.
Kind of like you.
Yeah.
Adonis, Osier.
Yes. Right. Kind of similar things. Yes. Homoy, not homo.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Jesus cried because he was a baby and he was hungry, and Mary and Joseph changed Jesus' whatever they had for diapers.
Yeah.
And to channel my inner Athanasius, and it was not Jesus's human nature that was crying. It was Jesus who was crying.
Correct.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. So we don't, that's the whole point. And it's funny, because we have people who get offended by the human nature of Jesus, like you said, Brett, but there's also people who only want the human nature of Jesus. We don't.
Yeah.
You think part of this is definitely an excuse for me to quote Ricky Bobby. Well, only part of it, though. This is
sweet,
like,
Lord, baby,
like,
Jesus.
Yeah, dear infant baby Jesus. Yeah. That one. But you think about it, is we don't want to be confronted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That this is what God had to do. that he had to condescend to us, that God had to come to us. And that ends up being another category error with salvation. I have just walked my Bible college juniors through this a little bit, but when we talk about our need to be saved, what we always forget is when we say we need to be saved, what we're really saying is we need to be saved from God. And that makes people uncomfortable if they haven't thought through it.
Right.
No, when God saves us, he saves us from himself. And that's what Jesus is doing. So in the manger, that's God. Being circumcised and brought to the temple, that's God.
Hanging on a cross.
Hanging on a cross. Yeah. I was working there. I was going to get a couple more steps.
I'm always,
you're just so eager to get to
I'm so quick to get to the cross. Yeah, you're a little slow to get to the cross, but I'm quick to get there. So.
I was being artistic, and you were being, you know, like Francis Pieper. Way to be.
The people only have 22 minutes to listen to us, Jason. I don't want them to miss the cross.
Yeah, but the man hanging on the cross, that's God. And if it isn't God, that is meaningless for us.
Sure.
Because if Jesus is only a man and he died, all it proves is that he died for his own sins. That because death is the just punishment for sin for all of humanity according to Genesis 2. And the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. If Jesus isn't God and he died, it proves he was a sinner. It does none of us any good. And so it has to be God. It has to be God in the manger. It has to be God hanging from the cross. And it's God rising again from the dead, but it's also man. That's why this is so important.
Good. Well, as we wind down on this episode, I'll read the next couple of affirmative statements because they fall
under this.
And then
we'll start next time probably with the following one.
Properties of the divine nature, properties of the human nature. So the first one here, properties of the divine nature, to be almighty, eternal, infinite, everywhere present, omniscient. And then properties of the human nature, to be a bodily creature, flesh and blood, finite and physically limited, to suffer, die, ascend and descend, to move from one place to another, to suffer hunger, thirst, cold, heat, etc. All right. Yeah.
Can you think of anything more important for Holy Communion?
Yeah.
I mean, this whole argument, you got both there. Bodily present.
Yeah.
You know, that he is actually there, flesh and blood, you know, but at the same time, the eternal, the infinite, the everywhere present nature of like, well, this can't work because, you know, we're just breaking up Jesus every Sunday. No, I mean, he says he's everywhere present, and yet there is the flesh and blood. It's such a good reminder of the nature, like you were saying before, how we started this episode, such a tie-in to communion.
And the two arguments against that actually flow out of this, against the Calvinist response. And so one, the Calvinist insistence on the sovereignty of God. Well, if God is sovereign, why couldn't he put his flesh and blood in communion? Because he's sovereign. The other one is that Jesus' body and blood can't be present at communion because they're with Jesus in heaven. Well, it would be just as hard for Jesus' body and blood to be present in heaven, a spiritual realm, as it would be for Jesus' body and blood to be present at Holy Communion. Neither one of those objections make any sense.
Thank you for joining us. Please look us up on the web at beinglutheran.com. Also, invite a friend to check us out on Spotify and iTunes. Please join us next week as Pastor Jason, Pastor Brett, and Pastor Adam continue their discussion on the person of Christ, looking at Article 8 of the Formula of Concord. If you would like more information about the Bible School or the seminary, please visit our website at flbc.edu. God bless you and have a great week.